Our message this morning is as we continue in Psalm 23, as has been our custom in the past, I want to begin by us reading it together in a very old translation called the King James Version of the Bible, because I believe it's a translation that, particularly with regarding the words of this psalm, I believe these are the words that many may have grown up with and become familiar with. We will then also read it together in the NIV or the New International Version. And we're going to be projecting those words there. So if you don't have your Bible with you this morning, you can just follow on what is projected on the wall. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And then if you will follow in the NIV, which is headed by the subtitle, A Psalm of David, so that we know this is a psalm that he penned, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing," in the sense that I shall not be in want of anything. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Father, we come to you this morning with hearts that need to be filled once again by your message to us through your word. Thank you that every time we turn to your word with an open heart, you are more than willing, through your Holy Spirit, to fill us with a sense of your presence, a sense of what you want to say to us, a sense of your leading, your direction. And I just pray that you would work way beyond the words that I say this morning and take the words of this psalm, that it changes our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We've now reached the sixth and final message of a series that I began some time back entitled Life Lessons from Psalm 23. And this psalm, which was probably written later on in David's life, after he'd experienced so many things, the ups and downs, as well as the blessings of God in his life, he begins to, in this psalm, tell something about life as he lived it. A life spent under the watchful care and eye of God as a loving shepherd. And in the previous five parts of the series, we covered the first five verses of the psalm, each of which can be summed up with one word. And we saw how David talks about how the Lord our shepherd meets all of our needs and he fills all of our life. First of all, in verse 1, can be summed up with the word contentment. And then secondly, God wants to, as our shepherd, fill our life with peace. That's the essence of verse 2. And then thirdly, we saw how the Lord as our shepherd gives us direction and meaningful purpose in life. In verse 3. And then fourthly, He gives us the courage and the confidence to face hardship and difficulties. That's what verse 4 is all about. And then fifthly, last time we saw how God as our shepherd fills our life with the abundance of His blessings. And now as David ends this psalm here in verse 6, he ends the psalm with a note of triumph. And he says in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," as it is put in the King James Version. And if you're accustomed with the English Standard Version, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Pretty much the same. And the NIV puts it, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, essentially, there is little difference between all three of these translations. The only exception being that the NIV uses the word love, where the others use the word mercy. Now, the actual Hebrew word here is pronounced chesed. It's a word that means steadfast love. Some translations use the word mercy, but the word is actually steadfast love. That steadfast love that God shows towards us that is based on His forgiveness and His mercy towards us. So perhaps loving mercy is the best way to really describe this aspect of this verse. And as we come to this last verse, I want us to see that this entire verse can also be summed up by one word. And this is the sixth and final thing that God, as our shepherd, wants to fill our life with. And that word is the word hope. Hope in the sense of having a confident expectation of the future. You know what I've never been able to really understand is when I've come across negative, pessimistic Christians. Christians whose view of the world and those whose view of the future can best be summarized by the words, "Ain't it just awful?" And you can hear them carry on when you have a conversation with them. When they talk about things that the economy is so bad and it's getting worse. And the government and the tax man is just out to get you. And you just can't trust anyone anymore. And people just aren't as good as they used to be. And so they go on and on. In fact, Christian musician Steve Taylor sang about this once, and he said that some people live their lives like this. When he penned these words, he said that life unwinds like a cheap sweater. But since I gave up hope, I feel a lot better. And the truth gets blurred like a wet letter. But since I gave up hope, I feel a lot better. And that's how some people feel and live their lives. And I don't know where this comes from, because the Bible teaches a completely different outlook for the Christian. Those who've committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ as their shepherd. And sadly, some of those who call themselves Bible-believing Christians believe exactly that. And there's one part of the Bible that they haven't been able to assimilate into their way of thinking, and that's the word hope. That confident expectation. And they fail to understand that the Bible speaks about this as being a good thing. And that it's okay to feel good about your life, and it's okay to feel good about your future, because God is in control. That's the point. God is in control in this life and the next. That's at the heart of what this verse is saying. That's the glorious hope that we have. And the Bible teaches that even though there are always going to be problems and troubles in this world, and that there are constantly going to be struggles which we must all endure, never forget this one thing, that God is in control and He takes care of His people. And so we have every reason to feel good about the future. And it's not a feeling good about a future because you are somehow in control and have got everything planned and you've got your retirement all worked out. And it's not because of any kind of right political party that is in control at any one given time in our country. But it's because God is in control and you've committed your life to His control. And even though, as the psalm says, you may at times pass through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear evil. You need not fear the future because God is in control. And since God is in control, we have this hope. Hope for today, hope for tomorrow, hope for our relationships, hope for our families, hope for our jobs, hope for our happiness, hope for our needs being met, hope for our lives making a difference in this world. And more importantly, we have the glorious hope of spending eternity in heaven with Jesus. And you know what? I'm convinced that the more you walk closely with Jesus, and the more you spend time in His Word, the more your outlook on life is defined by this word, hope. Because this is what happens to people who live their lives under the care of the great shepherd. They become inescapably and irreversibly hope-filled. People whose lives are filled with confident expectation, just like David. David, who endured a lot of heartache, a lot of tragedy, a lot of failure, a lot of disappointment in his life, yes. But he comes to the end of his life and he says, and he was still able to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And today I want us to look a little bit closer what it means to have this hope. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, he said that there are three things that remain after all has come and gone. He says, all three things that remain, faith, hope, and love. And many of us know what it means that we're supposed to live a life of love. That kind of we can grab hold of. And we all know that we ought to live a life of faith. And we might even grasp a little bit about that. But what about the third part of this equation? How do we live a life of hope? I want us to look at that from two aspects. First of all, having hope or living a life of hope means that you can live life with a sense of certainty. That's what it means to live a life of hope. You can live your life with a sense of certainty regarding the outcome. And as I mentioned in the first message of the series, there are only about 120 words in this entire psalm. And so therefore, every single one of these 120 words are important. But I believe one of the most important words of this entire psalm, however, is the first word of verse 6. And that's the word, surely. Not maybe, or perhaps, or conceivably, or possibly, or even probably. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And the same idea is expressed in the New Testament when Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know, in the sense of know for certain, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Do you know what he's saying here? He's saying, surely. He's saying we can live with this sense of confident expectation because God is in control and God is at work in our lives. Now, while the psalm is about the Lord as our shepherd, and He most certainly is a good shepherd, this word surely lets us know just how good He is and why He is this way. It's this word surely that starts this verb, this verse as an adverb, which is very unusual in its grammatical structure. It's an adverb used here as an intensive, adding emphasis, in other words, adding the emphasis on this confident assurance of what is to follow. For example, when we are asked if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, we could respond, I surely do. And by adding surely, this communicates the depth and the confidence and the strength of our faith and our conviction. And in this case, in this verse, this word surely precedes the verb follow. Surely the things are going to follow. And David says here that this which follows is the goodness and loving mercy of God is what would surely follow him all the days of his life. Now the phrase shall follow me is a word that speaks of a sense of being pursued. And David could have said it this way, surely goodness and mercy will be hot on my tail, falling closely at my knee, at my heels, right behind me, following me like a shadow all the days of my life. And it is in this word surely that we are made to see something of the shepherd's prevailing tendency or his inclination. Or perhaps to put it another way, his dominant aspect of God's heart is to keep on following after us with his goodness and his loving mercy. You see, God is wanting us to understand that he is constantly watching after you. And his grace is constantly working in you and reaching out to you. You see, it is God's very nature to love and to love sacrificially, selflessly, extravagantly, and beyond our wildest expectations. And so the psalmist here can say, surely, Goodness and loving mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, because that is how and who my shepherd always is. And so in this last verse, David emphasizes this certainty and the confident expectation of well-being that God promises under His guiding hand towards His people who have made Him their shepherd and follow Him closely as their shepherd. When you watch an action-packed drama on TV, and this is going back a few years, such as the show some years ago called MacGyver, I don't know if you remember that series, you always knew that MacGyver would somehow escape the seemingly inescapable situation in which he had found himself. Not so. And you always knew that he will somehow be in the next episode. Because it's his show and it's about him. And so when I watched MacGyver, I didn't find myself saying, oh no, will Mac survive? Is this the end? I didn't think that at all. Instead, I found myself saying to myself, this is going to be interesting. How's he going to get out of this situation now? And it's not a matter of if, but how. Because we all know that the writers were fully committed to him as the main character. And they would make sure that he is in the next episode. Somehow. And you know, it's the same for us. When we go through times that are not always smooth and comfortable, it's not a question of if God will get you through that difficult situation. It's a question of how. It's not a question of if God will bring blessings into your life. It's a question of how. And it's not a question of if God will work all things out for His glory and for your good. It's a question of how. And there have been times in my life when I've looked at what seemed inescapable situations, and I've said to myself, this is going to be interesting. How is God going to work things out here? I know that He will, because God is committed to ensuring me that I'm going to be in His next episode of my life. The only thing is, I didn't know how He would do it. And that's where hope comes in. A confident trust in Him. A confident expectation in Him. And as one of God's people, you can say this morning, surely. And you can live your life with a sense of certainty. But then secondly, having this hope also means you can live with a sense, your life with a sense of optimism. You can live with a sense of optimism. David says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy are coming my way, he says. And when we ask ourselves in our lives, what is coming my way? Irritations, disappointments, sickness, poverty, problems, perhaps. But you can also say, I know for certain that blessings are also coming my way. Opportunities are coming my way. Victory is coming my way. Power over sin is coming my way. Growth in my walk with the Lord is coming my way. You see, Psalm 23 reminds us that it's okay to be optimistic about your future, because your future is in God's hands and in His care. And David, first of all, yes, says, goodness will follow me. And we can see that sense of goodness in two ways as well. First of all, this goodness means that we can expect good things to happen. In other words, we can expect a windfall of God's blessings to come our way from time to time. And even when we experience tough times, we can expect some good things to come out of it, as Romans 28 verse 8 says. For we know that in all things, God is at work for the good of those who love Him. But there's also another sense in which goodness is coming your way. It is also that you are becoming good. In other words, you are becoming more holy. And whatever God sends your way in your life, Paul says that all things work together for our good. And he said that it is in accordance with God's purpose. And that purpose goes on in verse, the end of verse 28 into verse 29 of Romans chapter 8. It says, and that purpose is that we are being conformed into the likeness of His Son. In the book of Philippians, the Bible says that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. In other words, He will finish what He has started. He will make you more and more like Jesus. Some of us might be thinking here this morning, I don't see how it could ever be possible that I could really ever become a truly holy person. And God wants you to know this morning that it is possible, and it's not just possible, it is surely. Surely as you walk with a shepherd, and surely as you put yourself in His care, He not only gives you the blessing of good things, He gives you the blessing of becoming good, like His Son. But David also says here, mercy or loving mercy will follow me. And this is also important for us too, because we need God's mercy, every one of us. We truly do. You see, sheep have a tendency to wander off the path and keep wandering off the path. As soon as you turn your eye, a sheep will go its own way. And so do we. And that is why Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 53, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that is why God also said through Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 60, in my favor have I had mercy on thee. For those of you who are parents, or have had parents, and I'm sure we've all had that, you know how you have to go behind your children sometimes. Picking up after them. Getting them out of one scrape and then another. And that's what our Heavenly Father, our Shepherd, does with us. He understands that this process of growing up into the likeness of His Son is a never-ending process. We need His loving mercy again and again and again. And when we need it, it is always there. That's why the writer of the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. To help us in our time of need. And when is that? As this final verse of the psalm says, all the days of my life. And by all, it means all. It includes everything, every possibility. Even those days when I'm not feeling particularly godly and pious. Even those days when I don't feel like opening up my Bible. As I said, sheep can sometimes be very rebellious, and so can we. And I know because I know myself. And I'm sure you know yourself too. You see, this verse is saying that even in those times when we go astray, it is not God's hand of judgment and God's hand of condemnation which follows us or pursues us. It is God's hands of loving mercy, gently guiding us back to the flock. It's the gentleness of God in His dealings with us that we need to see here. And living with that sense of hope means that you have a sense of optimism about your life and about the future. And it means that you know that God is sending good things your way and that He's going to help you to become good. And that He's going to give you as much loving mercy as you need for the journey. So much mercy, in fact, that it follows you wherever you go. All the days of your life. You see, David is saying here, this loving mercy of God is like having a shadow. And that shadow is this blessing of God that follows me wherever I go. And wherever I go, God's loving mercy goes. Now, I'm not talking here about an arrogant sense of entitlement. You know, I'm a king's kid and therefore God owes me. I'm not speaking about that. God doesn't give us favor because He loves us more than anyone else. He gives you favor because you have chosen to love Him more than anything else. He gives you favor because you have named Him as your shepherd. And you have identified yourself as one of His sheep. It is because you are His son and His daughter. It is for that reason that His favor rests on you all the days of your life. And for all the days of your eternity. Because you will also dwell in the house of the Lord, in His presence, forever. His favor is never ending. And so, I just trust that you've seen something this morning in this psalm that we can live our life in expectation of a good life. A life of hope for a good future. A life that we can look forward to a blessed eternity. And all because we have a loving, gentle shepherd who watches over us with tender care as we walk closely beside Him. I want to conclude this morning by just encouraging you to do the following two things this week. And the first thing is to memorize these words of Psalm 23 verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then secondly, this week, at the end of each day, I want to encourage you to write down just two good and lovingly merciful things that followed you. I could set the number at 5 or perhaps 10 or perhaps even 100, and I'm sure the list would still be full. But I want you to start just with two things. Each day think of two good and merciful things that have come your way. Maybe it is an unexpected blessing. Maybe you experience victory in an area of your life where you've constantly been defeated in the past. Maybe it's an occasion where you fell face down, but God helped you get back on your feet again. I want you to think just of two good and merciful things that happened to you each day. And to help us understand that a little bit more clearly, I came across this on the internet where an interview was held with a class of third and fourth graders, that's about eight and 9 year olds, at a school called Wheaton Christian Grammar School. And they were asked to complete the following sentence. And the sentence was simply this: by faith, I know that God is, and then just complete the sentence. By faith, I know that God is. Someone by the name of Amanda answered, by faith I know that God is forgiving. Because He forgave in the Bible. And He forgave me when I went on the road on my bike without one of my parents. Brandon answered, by faith I know that God is providing full. I don't know if there's a word like that, but this is what he said. God is providing full. Because He dropped manna off for Moses and the people. And He gave my dad a job. Someone by the name of Paul answered, I know that God is caring. Because in the Bible He made the blind man see. And He made me catch a cricket ball from a very fast cover drive that would have hurt me. And He probably sent an angel down just in case. An anonymous child answered, I know that God is faithful. Because the school account came and my mom didn't know how we were going to pay for it. And then 2 minutes later, my dad called and he just got a bonus check and my mom was in tears. And then someone by the name of Hannah answered, I know that God is kind because He gave me a dog. And God also tells me not to do things that are bad. And I really need someone like that. Now it's amazing how much better life gets, doesn't it, when you start actively and purposefully looking for God's goodness and loving mercy in your everyday experiences of life. Believe me, it will change your life. A last and final verse is from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. It says here of God, He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and He carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. Now I hope that what you've got from this whole series of Psalm 23, if you've been able to attend for all or most of them, hope that what you've got from this whole series on Psalm 23 is that our Lord is not a drill sergeant. Our Lord is not a tyrant. Our Lord is not a taskmaster. Psalm 23 is a reminder to us that He's a shepherd. And you are one of His sheep. And if you will this morning put yourself fully in His care, your life can be blessed beyond words and beyond measure. Amen.